Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Ganesh Benzoplast Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Monarch Networth Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Priyadarshi Srivastava from Monarch Networth Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. I welcome you all on behalf of Monarch Networth Capital and Ganesh Benzoplast. Without making much more time, I pass over to you, Rishi sir and Amar sir, for your opening comments, and then we'll follow up with the question and answer session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Srivastava, and thank you to Monarch Capital for hosting the call. Good evening, everybody. This is Rishi Pilani. I'm the CMD for Ganesh Benzoplast Limited, and joining me is Mr. Amar Kabra, who's the finance head for the company. I thank you all for joining us on the conference call for the quarter ended June 30, 2022. I will initiate the call by taking you through the operational and financial performance, after which we'll open the forum to have a question and answer session. Before, I'd like to give a brief introduction of the company. Ganesh Benzoplast is present in two broad segments. One is the liquid storage tanks business, which we call the infrastructure business, and related activities to the infra business. The second is a specialty chemical manufacturing business, where we have two plants in Tarapur. Under the liquid business, we have total installed capacity of 309,000 KL on three of the prominent ports in India, which is JNPT, Goa and Kochi. We have long-term lease contracts for these ports, where we have set up the liquid storage tanks, which are connected by pipelines to various berths for handling export and imports of all types of liquid products. The GBL has a wide variety of tanks, like stainless steel, mild steel, epi-coated, that cater to all types of product storage requirements like acids, phenol, oil products and edible oils. Our JNPT and Kochi terminal currently runs at 100% capacity utilization, and Goa is running at approximately 40%. In the specialty segment, we manufacture benzoic acid, sodium benzoate and benzoate plasticizers, which goes into food preservatives, paints, automobile, pharmaceutical, lubricant industries, et cetera. In our other plant, we manufacture lubricant additives, which are like gear oil additives, hydraulic oil additives, grease oil additives. Over here, the company has a total installed capacity of 24,000 tons per annum. As a business strategy, we are looking at separating the groups into two separate entities. Apart from this, GBL has five subsidiaries, out of which four are wholly owned. The wholly owned subsidiaries are GBL Chemical Limited, GBL LPG Private Limited, GBL Infra Engineering Services Limited, and GBL Clean Energy Private Limited. Infrastructure Logistics Systems Limited, which is basically our rail logistics business, is a subsidiary in which GBL owns 86% and 14% is owned by others. With the growing energy demand in India and increase in movement of oil, chemicals and petrochemicals, there is therefore a huge potential for expansion of pipelines, transportation and infrastructure, and the company will get good opportunities in the coming years. On the operational level in the coming months, we are planning to add 19,000 KL capacity in JNPT, which is expected to commence in Q4 of FY23, which will be used for petroleum products with higher utilization. For this expansion, the company has already acquired the land on JNPT port, and this capacity is expected to be fully rolled out in FY22 end or early 2023. Apart from this, we have additional land in JNPT, which we hope to fully utilize by the end of FY25. Furthermore, our wholly owned subsidiary, which GBL Infra Engineering Services, also commenced in operations by getting an order for fabrication of 61 storage tanks from ANA Oil. With our proposed increased capacity, focus on growth through diversification and growing demand for storage, we believe we should be able to continue registering healthy growth going forward. We have started this year with a very strong performance at consolidated level. Moving on to our first quarter FY23 results. On consolidated basis, in the first quarter, the revenue grew by 17% to rupees 920 million as against rupees 784 million. Profit before tax grew by 34% to rupees 168 million as against rupees 125 million in the corresponding period. And PAT grew by 31% to rupees 123 million as against rupees 93 million in the corresponding period. Our EBITDA is right now at rupees 21.42 crores for the quarter. This year, our company got award for the highest liquid cargo handling at JNPT in the non-PSU category. And this is the eighth consecutive year that the company has handled the highest liquid cargo at JNPT under non-PSU sector. I would like to again thank you all for listening to me and now request the moderator to open the forum for any questions or any suggestions that the participants may have. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Varshit Shah from Vito Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Pilani, and thanks for hosting the call after a couple of quarters. We, as investors, we appreciate this gesture to reach out to the larger community. So my question is on the land, the newly acquired land. So as you mentioned that you will kind of commence the operations by end of FY23. So if you could just crystallize a bit the opportunity we can capitalize on this new acquisition of land.
So Varshit, if I understand your question correctly, you want to know that how much capacity is coming online in the fourth quarter of FY23, right?
Right.
So it's about 19,000 KL, and all these tanks are specially designed to handle all types of chemicals. So 10 tanks, so totally 18 tanks are being built. Out of them, 10 are stainless steel. So as you know, stainless steel, though it's a higher price commodity, what it does is it gives my customers a lot of flexibility in handling corrosive products like acids and highly quality sensitive products which are required. So we are seeing a very, very healthy demand for this.
Sure. So if you see typically our existing portfolio, so we are slightly moving up the curve in terms of better margin storage capacities. Is that the right assessment? Because I think given our current mix and what you're planning at JNPT new land.
So see, the current mix that we have already consist of these capabilities, apart from handling your regular products like lube oils and edible oils and other products, right? But with having this enhanced capacity, it will add to our portfolio of the specialty chemicals that we can handle through our terminal. So we become a much more value-add proposition to our customers.
So the incremental margins, I mean, would be higher than the current company average on this new product?
Yes, that would be the case, yes.
Okay. And sir, this 18 tanks you will commission by Q4. So do you envisage towards the end of Q4 or maybe somewhere middle of Q4 you will be able to commence this?
See, any
revenues which will flow in this
year? Our actual expectation is to commence by third quarter of FY23. That's why the conservative answer is Q4 of FY23. So I would expect that in the beginning of Q4 of FY23, we should have these tanks commissioned.
So we can build maybe one quarter of revenues, some revenue. Obviously, we won't have 100% utilization.
Yes.
Some revenues will flow in. And by when you expect this the site to ramp up fully?
So the for the rest of the site, we are looking at adding even more value-added products in terms of to our customers and also to us in terms of profits. So I would imagine that with the conceptualization and finalization, we would expect that by FY25, we would have the entire site ramped up.
Okay. So this is pertaining to 19,000 KL you mentioned?
No, the 19,000 KL will get it ramped, will be commissioned in the Q4 of FY23 itself. But this is hardly utilizing about 15% of the land that we have got available with us. So we still have 85% land free.
Okay. So if you want to just kind of give us a color on what is the revenue potential, if you can put a number on this 19,000 KL expansion, and a broad range is also fine. And I'm sure the other future plans, as and when you crystallize, you will share it with us.
See, typically, if similar tanks in the market, they would command a revenue of approximately 1 to 1.5 crores per month. So you would expect that the top line should have an impact of anywhere between 12 to 15 crores. And since this is an add-on to our existing terminal itself, the cost will not go up in the same proportion. So your operational margins in these tanks are expected to be higher than, since it will be a part of your whole existing capacity, not a standalone capacity.
Understood. So the cost incrementally, EBITDA margin will be much higher, although the gross margin is a function of the mix, I mean, the value-added mix. But the EBITDA margin would be even higher because of our coffee, largely the fixed costs are same.
Correct.
Okay, understood, sir. I'll get back in the queue. I'll allow other participants to ask.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Varshit.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Venkatraman from Orient Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Rishi. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. And
thank you, Mr.
Venkatraman. I have one small couple of questions. One was regarding the infrastructure logistics. We are holding around 86% approximate stake.
Yes.
Why are we not taking it, making it 100% subsidiary by buying out the balance?
The other 14% is actually owned by promoters themselves.
Okay.
So that will be ultimately brought into the main company.
Okay.
But due to some, because of some technical reasons, that it'll take a few months to do that.
Okay. And in the PowerPoint slide of number 20 on the financial results, you had mentioned regarding the performance of infrastructure logistics. The EBITDA's down this year for FY22. And if you compare the Q1 standalone and consolidated, it appears that ILSL is still not making enough profits as compared to what it was before our takeover. Why is it so?
No, Mr. Venkatraman, so what happened is that we have, because we went through a troubling time due to COVID and other issues. Mm. So see, we have to be cognizant of the fact that we have to support our customers in difficult times. So we also have to participate with them when they are making losses. So during the last year, we had to take a one-time hit. But all that will now is no longer applicable. So this starting from this quarter onwards, you'll see a change in the profit numbers.
Oh, okay. And another difficult question, what is the status of the litigation with Morgan Securities?
So, see, it is a sub judice matter, so I can't speak much on it.
Okay.
But what I can tell you is that in January of 21, there was, because this is public knowledge, there was an order by the court for us to deposit 3 crore rupees against this matter, which we have done.
Okay. So, yeah, whatever has to be paid according to a tentative court assessment that you already made, and so we are done with it. So, final order is awaited. But
So the matter still continues in court. So, I would not say that we are done with it.
Okay.
But what I can only comment at this point is that as per the court's assessment of the liability, we have deposited in the court.
Okay. And next question, can I put another question? What is the nature of a relationship with Golden Agri? Because I see that, you know, they have a JV with you in Blue Brahma. And as per the, you know, MCA portal, there is a charge outstanding. What is the nature of facilities that they have given to our company?
So I'll...
not affected in the balance sheet.
So Golden Agri is part of the Sinarmas Group of Indonesia, which is like one of the largest group business houses there. The parent company is a listed company in Singapore. I think currently this Golden Agri division is worth upwards of $5 billion.
Yes.
So the relationship started with them because they are our customers. They needed some tanks for their storage. So the structure we had agreed with them is that they would lend us the money to build the tanks for them. And they would recoup their money through the rentals.
Okay.
So that's why the charge that you see in the account is because they actually funded their own tanks as a debt.
When is it getting over?
That debt is already over.
Over, okay. So only I believe you're not filed the satisfaction charge with the...
Yeah, we satisfy the charge that's not an issue. That process is going
Excellent. So okay. You have, on one side,
Mr.
you have...
we would request you to kindly return back in the queue for follow-up questions.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sudhir Padiyar from OTM Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Sudhir.
Mr. Sudhir, can you hear us? This is the operator here. Mr. Sudhir, can you hear us?
Yeah, good evening. Am I audible now?
Yes, you are audible now.
Yeah, thank you so much. Good evening, Mr. Pilani and team, and thank you so much for taking my questions.
Good evening.
So just a couple of follow-up questions to what the participant previously had already asked. With regards to our JNPT expansion.
Okay.
Sir, pardon my ignorance, but how does this business actually work? So is it that you get, orders from the client based on which you build the tanks, or do you build the tanks first and then you go scouting around for clients which are suitable for those tanks?
So is your question over, Mr. Sudhir?
For now, yes. I mean, I'll have further questions with this.
No, sure. So the thing is, the answer is both. So even in the 18 tanks that we are expanding, some of the tanks are already built as per client demands.
Okay.
So the clients actually contract with us and they tell us that, you know, if you build such and such tank for us, we will hire it for, let's say, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year period from you.
Okay.
And some of the tanks, what we build, they are based on our experience of the product flow through the ports and are the pent-up demand that we refuse. So many times over the course of your business, you keep refusing people tanks because you simply don't have that configuration or that type of tank. So it's a combination of both.
Okay. But in which case, I guess it would be fair to assume that this facility that we are building will largely not go unutilized. Because you're doing it with a mix of both. You already have orders in hand, plus you have an assessment of the impending demand. So this facility may not go underutilized for a long period of time.
I would be highly, highly surprised if it goes unutilized even for a day.
Brilliant. Okay. 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 So my second part of the question, sir, is, this facility that you're building, right, specialized stainless steel tanks, as you rightly said, that this would be fetching you higher margins as compared to your existing business.
Mm-hmm.
And in your existing business, also you mentioned that you have a mix of specialty tanks, right?
Yes.
Which cater to this. What percentage of your existing business would have this kind of specialty tanks, sir, actually?
So in JNPT would be approximately 50%. So out of our capacity of 2.5 lakh KL right now in JNPT, roughly, it would be about maybe 1 lakh to 1 lakh 20 would be speciality.
Okay. And on the balance 85% of unutilized land, also you have similar plans of replicating this business, right?
I would not say that we have a... So replicating this business is one of the options, or we may go for other types of tanks which are even more high value yielding. So all that is being right now formalized and crystallized.
Okay. And so what kind of capex would be required roughly to utilize 100% of the land that we have at JNPT? A rough number, I mean, a range at least.
See, I'll give you an example that suppose if you decide to replicate similar types of specialty chemical tanks, right?
Okay.
Then probably you can get by with another 100 to 150 crores.
Okay.
And suppose if you want to go in for let's say an LPG.
Okay.
So an LPG facility will cost you anywhere between 400 to 500 crores.
Okay.
So it's a range.
Okay. And sir, if at all you go in for, so I understand that you're saying LPG facility would roughly come at 3x the capacity of your regular, capex that you're talking about. What kind of incremental margins would LPG thereby enjoy, if at all?
So, generally any project that you put in, your expectation always is, and this is just an expectation, nobody can be certain, but your expectation is always that you should recover your payback period should not be more than in the range of 5 to 7 years.
Okay.
So this gives you an idea that if the payback period is remaining in the same range, then obviously if your capex is 3 times higher, then your revenues also have to be and margins have to be 3 times higher.
Okay, I get it. Brilliant. Thank you very much, sir. I've got follow-up questions, but I think I'll come back in the queue. I'll join the queue later. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Ravish Malav, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
This is Ravish Malav. Hello, Blind sir.
Hello, Mr. Ramesh.
Ravish, sir. It's Ravish.
Ravish, yes. Sorry.
There is a presentation slide in which you have said that we can increase our height of our tanks also. So is there any scope we are doing there in old plot? I will call it old plot and I will call new plot. So is there any scope we are doing for that?
Yes, we are. But unfortunately, we are in a catch 22 situation always that the demand for the tanks is so much that it is very difficult for us to empty out tanks to do this because it takes approximately a month or two to do all these things.
Okay.
And it's very, very tough for us in the current demand supply scenario to even empty the tanks for a day. So that is the cash 22 we are stuck in always.
Okay. So means there will not be any scope for at least for a year or so, we can say, because you will be binded by the your contracts also because of that.
Yeah,
so
it's
one or
not
2 years you will not be able to increase.
It's not only just the contracts, it's also the part of customer servicing, because if your customers have continuous vessels coming, mm-hmm. and if you make the vessel stand, they go into something what is known as damage.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be cognizant of the fact that our customers are, you know, they like to take advantage of the fluctuations in the international market pricing. So if a pricing is favorable, they like to order more quantities and do all that.
Okay.
So it's always a customer service angle, not a contract angle.
Okay. And my other question is, if you are looking at an LPG tanks there, so are we pursuing any certification or any NOC from the authorities? Are we doing this thing? If we are certain, we want to do this or chemical storage, both of them, we can have NOC before having some money we need, but we can have NOC from the government or the authorities to have LPG, or if we don't get the money, we can have our chemical storage, because it is a long process. I think you have already mentioned in when we are doing it, when we intended to do it at Goa, but it could not fructify because of some issue there. So are we doing this here?
So let me say this, that yes, you are right. Whatever statutory steps we need to take, we have started taking.
Okay.
But just for your information, that you don't get a either or license. So a government department is not going to give you a license to say ye kar lo ya ye kar lo. You know, it's going to be what you want to do, take the license for that.
Okay.
It's very important for us to crystallize our way forward,
mm-hmm.
and then. But having said that mm-hmm. yes, whatever groundworks we need to do documentation wise,
mm-hmm.
so that the day we crystallize, we can just submit that and take the approval. That is all being done.
Okay. Very good. And my other question is, how are you thinking of the chemical business going for 1 or 2 years? Because it is very volatile in form of profitability only, because it is at the 60% utilization level since 2-3 years. So what do you think it of in next 1 or 2 years? Are we adding some new products in the same line, or we can do that to have its capacity utilization at higher level and we can reduce the volatility of profitability, because it is a lot of profitability is going zero, and it is coming in 11 crore, sometimes it is 11 crore, sometimes zero. So are we doing something for that?
So Mr. Ravish, the thing is that we are not increasing the product mix as of now, but what we are trying to do is various things of trying to make sure that we are managing the raw material sourcing better, because both the plants, if you see the sodium benzoate plant and the lube oil additive plant, is based primarily the raw materials for the one is toluene, which is a petrochemical, and other is base oil, which is again a petroleum product.
Mm-hmm.
So the high volatility of the raw materials that we keep facing,
mm-hmm.
that makes the what you see the profit margin swing, because the transferability to the finished product is not as fast as the volatility of the raw material. In some times it works in our favor. When the raw material prices drop,
mm-hmm.
the finished good prices don't drop as fast.
Mm-hmm.
But when the raw material prices go up, the finished good prices don't go up as fast.
Yes. That's what I was talking about.
So our focus right now is to maintain the quality, try to get a better handle on the raw material volatility in terms of prices,
mm-hmm.
and also steadily keep growing our capacity. So if you know, a few years back we were operating just at 30-35%,
okay.
and now we are up to 60%, so steadily we are taking this up.
Okay. So means going forward, the volatility means the profitability, because the profitability is what we are seeing. Because and it is sometimes it is zero, sometimes it is in very very good number. So it will we are going to bypass in next 2-3 years. We will have some regularity in profitability and utilization also.
Hopefully, yes.
Okay. And what about the demerger we were planning for chemical business and everything?
Yeah, so see, demerger is, see, we have already filed the scheme and everything. There is a legal court case due to which we are not able to execute that.
Okay.
Somebody had mentioned about some things before Morgan and all, so it's related to that, but we are looking to solve that. And our first choice would obviously be to create two demerged entities.
Okay.
So that we can create valuation in both entities by increasing their business and profit.
Okay, very good. And can I ask some one or two questions if I am allowed?
Yes.
Can I ask? Uh-huh. Can I ask?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So now let us come to a new plot that we have got. Is there any rent we have to pay, and can you tell us how much the combined rent will be old from new? Is it in the higher range, or means how much it is, a yearly basis or what?
So yeah, the rent has to be paid on the yearly basis, and it is similar in line to the, it's obviously higher because we've got it now,
mm-hmm.
but it's in the line of what we pay already to JNPT, approximately the same.
Okay. And this 19,000 kiloliter, have we done this?
Would you kindly come back in the queue, sir, for follow-up questions?
Okay. Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Vikas Gandhi, an investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So
hello, Mr. Vikas.
Yeah, hi. So I have one question on the LST division. While the revenue is quarter on quarter, last year has gone down slightly, but there is significant swing in profitability. Compared to 16 crores last year, we have done 12 crores. Any particular reason? Was it any one-off item or what it is?
Yeah. So myself, Amar Kabra, GM Finance and Taxation. I would like to answer your question. See, these storage tanks and pipelines and all the machinery which are put are 30 to 32 years old. So it requires it requires heavy maintenance capex. So on quarter and quarter, we are assessing which tank we require capex, means maintenance capex, and accordingly, we are doing the maintenance of the particular tank or pipeline. So that's why that is the reason that in one quarter you may see there is a variation in maintenance capex, and in other quarter you will not see that particular amount. So that is the reason, one of the major reason to of a down in EBITDA margin of the LST division.
Understood. So in Q1 FY23 we had this expenses which has been factored in.
Yeah.
And the second question is on ethanol. How is that project progressing?
So that project is progressing as we envisaged it. So as you all know, that the current government policy is highly favorable for this environment of ethanol manufacturing. We had a few months of operations in that plant to test it, and currently the plant is under expansion in terms of its capabilities, and we hope to restart within a month or two, which is as per our planned program, and then start supplying again. The advantage with us is that since the plant is located in a strategic area, the raw material is not an issue, and the supply is virtually guaranteed because as per the government laws, the OMCs have to purchase from the closest plant that is available to them, and we are the closest to one of the biggest depots of the OMCs. So compulsory, they have to purchase it from us before they purchase from anybody else.
Understood. So is there any capacity utilization you are factoring in for FY23?
Sorry, can you repeat the question, please?
What is the revenue stroke capacity utilization for this project in FY23?
So the capacity utilization what we are projecting starting, let's say, November onwards is 100%.
Okay.
And
in terms and, of revenue at 100% utilization?
So the at 100% utilization comes out to approximately 100 to 130 crores a year. But you have to remember that GBL owns only a 26% stake in this, number one. And number two, that obviously the revenues to GBL will start flowing once the capex is paid off, which is expected in about 2 years' time.
Understood. So it's a promising project, but long gestation in a way.
Yes, yes.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Saket Saurabh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So, yeah, so my first question would be that, you know, so you have mentioned the capacity in terms of kiloliters, but when you look at the throughput, then there's 1,000 metric tons. So how do we establish a correlation between the two? Hello. Am I audible?
This is the operator here. We have the management line dropped. We are reconnecting the manager. Please stay connected.
Okay.
Over to you, sir.
Sorry, Mr. Saurabh, we got disconnected. So if you can repeat
question. Yeah, appreciate you. Yeah, so my first question is that, you know, like say for the GNPT, we have mentioned that our there is a capacity of 240,000 kiloliters, but then there is a throughput number against it in metric or million tons. So how do we establish a correlation between the two?
So you may have companies who have hired tanks from you, but for various reasons, they may not able to utilize the tanks fully. So I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a tank that is of 5,000 KL, and let's say somebody has hired it from you, but for whatever reason, they get only 2,500 KL of material for that particular month. So while they will pay you for the 5,000 KL tank, the throughput through the tank only is 2,500 KL.
Okay. So then throughput is not something that we should look after, right? It's the KL or rupees per KL, which is the metric to go after, right?
Yeah. But throughput is also very critical because a higher throughput means that the tanks are being utilized more efficiently and they may ultimately lead to better revenues because the tanks that are on spot basis, for example, when you give tanks on spot basis, those are only running through throughput. So while throughput is not an exact number that gives you all the data, but it is good to know that if a company is, what is the throughput ratio the company is operating at.
Now, so if I look at, say, the breakup, how much would we say on spot and how much would we say on long-term contracts, the rental revenue that we have?
So if I look at JNPT, 80 to 85% of the capacity would be on spot.
Okay.
And there is a strategic reason why we keep some quantity held back on spot is because that those are your high revenue drivers.
So 85% is on contract and about 15% is on spot.
15% is on spot, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and what would be the typical duration of these contracted contracts, like 6 months, multi-year or long-term, what would be that?
Yeah, so we have contracts that are ranging from a year to 10 years, depending on the customer and the product.
And so so if I look at the revenue from GNPT, so there is a steady, say, increase. So is it like, do we have price escalation or do these rates have some linkage to, say, global, say, like there was this, currently there was an issue around container and all. So was that also impacting our rates? Or so if you can share some colors on what drives this realization, from a particular account or say per kiloliter, both in the contract part as well as the spot part.
So the contract part, yes, usually they do have a inbuilt mechanism of rate increments, and they generally range between 5 to 8% year over year. Now, once a contract expires, obviously we reset the rates then based on the current market scenarios. So you may have customers who end up paying as high as 25 or 30% year more as a step jump once the contract gets over and a new contract is negotiated as a starting point. But during the duration of a contract, generally the increments range between 5 to 8%. On the spot, for the spot, it is a really, it's an open game. So because it is all a question of a customer's demand and our ability to fulfill that demand. So for the same cargo that, for example, the spot rate may be X, the contract rate may be X, the spot rate can be 3X or 2X.
And so is there, like, you know, if you look at any trend, like last year, they peaked or they are softening a bit if I look at the spot rate, you know, because there was a shortage of containers and all. So will that be a fair assumption, or there is a, say, a base or say they tend to remain between a particular range, these rates?
No. So, yes, obviously there is a range. I mean, we can't charge, you know, 25 times the current market scenarios and all, right? That's not how business works, even as a long-term relationship. So generally, there is a range which is determined. Again, the reason why it's called spot is because that range is determined on that particular spot. But see, the container business shortage and everything doesn't really impact us because we are in the bulk liquid business. So our cargo doesn't come by containers. It comes by bulk liquid ships, which have storage tanks in them. So, however, what the trend we are seeing is year over year, we are happy to see that the trend is still there is an increment in price and the customers are willing to absorb those increments.
Okay. Now, so are these tanks multi-purpose in nature? Because I think that all of the, so on one hand, I see that the handling capability that you have outlined is all across, like edible oil and all. But at the same time, you're talking about, you know, the new capacity could be, say, focused on more specialty one. So any color around that, you know, current capacity is all, say, fungible, or you talked about this 50% is specialized and 50% is. So how does this rate varies across, say, specialized versus non-specialized or commoditized?
See, again, obviously, you can't store, like, a flammable product in a non-flammable tank, right? I mean, that is not permitted and it's not allowed by statutory authorities. So my whole point is that there is some level of fungibility, yes, in the tank usage. But in terms of revenue, you would expect that the specialty tanks should give you at least 1.5 times than a non-specialty tanks in most cases.
Okay. Understood, understood. And any thoughts on this Goa thing, which seems to be, you know, currently under some rough weather? So while you have talked about certain initiatives, but if you can elaborate a bit on that.
That's a very good question, and if you also have any suggestions on that, I would welcome it, because because fortunately the good part is that the Goa facility is relatively very small. It's just four tanks amounting to 25,000 KL or so. Okay, so it's not a very, very big cost on the company to maintain it. Having said that yes, obviously we want to make sure that we want to grow that business there. We had a steady state business there of bunkering, which got affected due to the mining ban in Goa, if you are aware of that.
Yes.
So while we are exploring opportunities, like we do handle sometimes specialty chemicals there. We do handle edible oils there, but as of now, we are not having a concrete plan on how to take these occupancies up.
Got it. So you have mentioned about this rental revenue, but you also talked about you have got some contracts for manufacturing tanks, and then there is also an EPC business within this. So how would be the mix across these three verticals, rental versus, say, manufacturing versus, say, EPC?
So, see, rental and manufacturing, so you have to understand that when you ask for revenues, the revenues in manufacturing are always going to be higher, because that's the nature of the business, right? You're going to buy and sell on the price of the product. Whereas in rental, you're going to just get a small decimal of the product, because it's a service, right? You're providing. You're not doing any value add to the product. So, and regarding the infra business, the infra engineering business, see, that is a very, very new business that we have started, and it is not like a open to market business. It's very, very targeted to very specific of our own customers to help them enhance their capacity so we can service them better. So I may take a customer who wants to move more cargo through JNPT, but because of the capacity utilizations in his plant, he's not able to order bigger parcels, right? So that's where I will focus. That I will provide them the expertise and service of building the tank, so that their revenue sort of links into my revenue. The same is, Anna is our existing customer in JNPT, so we are providing this as a value add service to them. So we are not like a typical EPC company where we are out in the market and, you know, selling ourselves to every tender and everything like that. We are very, very focused to enhance capabilities and capacities of our own customers.
Basically, it's basically focused on making the relationship more sticky rather than generating a separate view kind of a thing.
You hit the right part.
Okay. No, thanks for the responses, and highly appreciate this, the transparency and the openness with which you have shared, and, you know, looking forward for a longer relationship. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mr. Saurav.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vaishali Pathkumar from Vihan Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Vaishali. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. So I have two questions. Like, you know, the one 19,000 KL capacity which we are going to come in recent future. So will that have the same realization, or it will have a different realization than the current tanks?
So in terms of revenues, it will be similar to your current tanks.
Okay.
Or maybe slightly higher. I'm talking of these 19,000 KL.
Right.
But in terms of your EBITDA margins, is definitely going to be much higher, because we are just adding on to an existing plant, right? To an existing capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So the cost levels in these tanks is not going to be the same as the existing tanks.
Okay. So you mean to say the current, if suppose current LST segment is doing 54% of EBITDA margin, then this particular capacity may have higher margin.
Yeah, they would. If I would expect that whatever your current margin is, these would be approximately 50% more margin.
Okay. Okay. And sir, on your this quarter results, there's when I was looking at it, the main contributor to the revenue was the chemical segment, which grew 49%. So what was the key driver to growth to that, and is this sustainable going forward?
See, Vaishali, if you see over the last few years, we have systematically tried to implement controls into the purchases of our raw materials and the way we are selling our products to improve the margins and get a better plant utilization. So we have steadily, year after year, increased in our plant utilization levels, starting from almost maybe 25-30% to right now we are almost 60%. So as you keep growing this, then it's a simple math. Your, you know, overheads are fixed. So as you keep increasing your utilization levels, you're definitely going to see some impact of that in terms of your profits. But so it's a combination of all of these. And along with that, what we have done is that we have created a wholly owned subsidiary in which all the purchase and buying selling of chemical division is happening, and Ganesh Benzoplast as GBL as a mother company is getting a fixed margin on that. So we are trying different structures that without you know, inputting any funds from the LST division into the chemical division, we are helping it grow through different management inputs.
Okay, and on a sustainable basis, if you see the last year the EBITDA was negative, this year it was a positive. So over a period of time, on a sustainable basis, how do you see EBITDA margins growing in this business?
See, this is a very difficult question to answer, because see, what happens in a chemical division is that it is highly, highly dependent on your raw material volatility, because your raw material prices are directly linked to crude oil. But having said that, with the increased utilization, with the increased controls in terms of purchases and selling that we have brought in, I definitely hope that we have a steady state performance. I definitely hope for that.
Okay. And so on your EPC segment, I understand the way you are doing a job done for your client. So how do you see this particular segment growing in the future?
See, we are getting a lot of inquiries for us to work on this segment, primarily because of our expertise in this. And, you know, all the systems are established. But as I've said before, this business is going to be focused as a driver for the main business, which is LST and the logistics. So wherever we see synergies where we can do EPC work to sort of bridge these gaps, that's where our focus is going to be. Now, how many opportunities come in that or not come in that, I'm not sure of that. But one thing is sure, that this business is not requiring a lot of capital input from this company. The same project team works, which is GBL's core project team, assists in these projects. So we are not adding additional burden on GBL to manage this division. So this division is acting as a complement to enhance GBL's capabilities. It's not like a cost center which is taking away GBL's time and money.
Okay. And last question, if I may squeeze. So I'm just trying to understand that, you know, the same land what we have, you know, on leased on this terminal, if someone wants to, you know, get a same kind of lease, so how easy and difficult it would be, and what would be the difference in pricing in terms of costing?
So we have to look at it in a holistic view, that getting the land doesn't achieve anything in a liquid storage business. You also need the pipelines that connect to the jetty that allow you to handle the cargo, right?
Right.
So currently, JNPT does not have any room for further pipelines.
Okay.
So the problem what happens is that, and GBL is in a unique position where we are connect. So JNPT has two primary jetties for handling liquid cargo, which all the terminals use. But GBL is connected to two secondary jetties, which also can handle liquid cargo. So GBL is the only terminal capable of accessing all the four jetties. How this add value to a customer is their vessels don't incur damage while waiting, because in the main two berths, all the terminals are waiting to get berths. So having a pipeline access to a jetty and a multiple number of jetties is the key to success in this business.
Okay.
So getting a land while in a normal tender, anybody can ask JNPT to remove a tender and bid for the land. The approximate current pricing is 8 to 9 times of what we are already holding, the land, mm-hmm. the prices that we are holding. So first of all, they have to pay this higher price. And in addition to that, they will have no access to the jetty. So that's where the barrier to entry comes.
So is it right to say that in this particular segment where the pipeline exists, we are the only company which has this access?
No, that is not right, because in JNPT itself, there are two other companies who are third party operators who have access to these lines. And obviously all across India and in the ports, there are different companies who have access to the lines. But so we are not the only company, but we are the only company who has access to all the four jetties.
Okay, understood. Okay, sir. Thanks for this was from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Vaishali.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ravish Madhav, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Ravish.
Hi, Ravish.
Sir, I wanted to know about our logistic business and its assets and how much land we are having and what is the capacity and what is the railway capacity we are having.
So in our logistics business, currently we are having land in two areas. One is in Don, near Pune, which is approximately 3.5-4 acres. And near Beauty Bori in Nagpur, again, is approximately 4 acres.
Okay.
And both these places are having storage tanks that are linked through pipelines to the railway. So we can do online loading and unloading of rails of the trains directly into the storage tanks in both the locations.
Okay.
We are also having approximately 140 foot ISO tanks owned in this division, which can be utilized for movement of liquid cargo. So this is the
mini ports for us.
Hmm?
These are the mini ports for us. We can, if we are having customers near these near these locations, we can handle our liquid from JNPT to their space. No? This is like
that. You're absolutely right, Ravish. The idea of setting up these terminals is to bring the port right to the customer's doorstep.
Okay.
So for example, one of our biggest customer, who's Cargill. So if you see, we are transporting their liquid, their edible oil from our tanks in JNPT by rail to our tanks in Don and further on to their plant by trucks. So as far as Cargill is concerned, the ship is delivering directly to their plant. They don't see the molecule in between. They see the molecule straight when it reaches their plant.
Okay. So it's increasing our throughput.
The whole concept behind this, what it does is it not only increases the throughput through my tanks, but it also makes the stickiness of the business grow exponentially.
Okay. So it is having a means a potential to grow in line with our LSTD, this warehousing business.
So, see, the liquid business, the logistics business is having a long gestation period in terms of new clients, because you have to understand that for a client to change over their business model from the truck to rail entails a complete philosophy change of the organization that we are working with, right? Because any disruption will lead to a disruption in the plant operations. So generally, we are working right now with a very big company. We have already made headway in terms of getting the initial engineering started for them. But usually these gestation periods range from 1 to 2 years, just because there are a lot of moving parts within a company that need to adjust to this. It's not like a just a, you know, a switch that today you are doing truck and tomorrow morning let's start by rail and close the matter. You know, it doesn't work like that. There are a lot of CapEx capabilities that we have to, again, through our EPC division, enhance in the client's own plants to ensure that they can handle it. But ultimately, this is a safer way to handle your product. It's a cheaper way to handle your product, and that's why customers swear by it.
Okay. And my next question is, are we heading for any new position in on any new port or at current ports? Means again, are we considering if opportunity comes for us to have new land at any port or new this current port we are presenting?
See, so we are always looking for opportunities across the country to see where all either we can get new land or we can acquire an existing terminal. Those discussions happening on continuous basis. Do we have a specific targets right now in mind? No. But are there talks happening? Yes. Having said that, with the acquisition of this new land in JNPT, I think a lot of our focus is going to be to develop this to its fullest potential, because we foresee that in the next 2 to 3 years, this can really add to our numbers in multiple times if this is managed for them.
Okay. And very, very congrats for your this new win, and best of luck for your future endeavors. Thank you for answering my queries. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Ravish. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Venkat Raman from Orient Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my follow-up question.
Hello again, Mr. Venkat Raman.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Sir, there is so much of stickiness. There's such a great product you have on the infrastructure logistics, this thing. I think it has not come out well in the PPT for investors to understand, especially on the savings that you have on the transportation front from the customer side. So if you could just, you know, spare some thought and then put it across the PPT next time, it'll be a great thing for the investors. That is number one.
Thank you, Mr. Venkat Raman. This is a very good feedback for us. Thank you very much.
And second thing is, you know, regarding the new plot at JNPT, where you had mentioned that you'll be by 2025 is when the full facility plans will be up and running. But when do you think you'll be able to crystallize the plans? Maybe in the next quarter, next 6 months?
Yes, I think by next 6 months, the plans have to be crystallized.
Okay. And ballpark for this 45,000 square meter plot, if in case you're going to do LPG, what will be the capacity of the LPG in ballpark figure which you have in mind?
See, I don't know what is the figure we have in mind as of now, but with the current LPG logistics scenario, you should have a capability of handling minimum one VLGC.
Okay.
And one VLGC is approximately 42,000 tons.
Okay.
Which means 100,000 KL tank.
Okay.
Or two tanks of 50,000 KL.
Okay.
So while we don't know where we are at, but definitely that is, if you want to become a significant player, then this is something that you should look at.
Sir, today AGC is at 115,000 tons capacity. So should you benchmark GBL against AGS?
AGS is at 115,000 tons or not, I'm not sure, but they are across at multiple ports.
Yeah.
I'm talking of a single port.
Great, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Wish you all the best.
Thank you, Mr. Venkatraman. And thank you for the feedback.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question. I now hand it over to the management for closing comments.
Okay. So, I would like to thank Monarch Capital for organizing this call for us, Mr. Srivastav. Thank you, everyone, for your interest and for your insightful questions. Should you need any further clarification or if you'd like to know about us, do feel free to contact our team. And we hope to get your valuable support as we go ahead. And please give us your best feedback, whatever it is, good or bad, we are happy to take it. And thank you so much again for spending your time for us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
On behalf of Monarch Network Capital, I thank you all. Thank you, sir. And thank you all the participants for taking the time out. Thank you. Madam, you can end the call. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.